cliffcentral.com. It is Friday morning, and it is organ donor month this month. Now, you know, on this show, I mean, Mabali's an organ donor.
Yes.
Proudly so. I think it's because she studied medical microbiology, and she knows how lucky we are even to survive in a world of microbes, where they're actually in charge of Earth.
Well, I also think that, you know, there's no point in my organs being eaten by maggots once I'm dead if they could be useful to someone.
That's such a beautiful thought. But yes, absolutely. Make yourself useful. You know, a lot of people aren't even useful in life. The least they could do is be useful in death. Don't you think? Is that asking too much? I mean, really, people got to wake up to this. So if you think that that you'd like to know more about this, it's your lucky day, because Joosta Vermeulen, who's from the Organ Donor Foundation, and I love your name, Cleopatra Ndlovu, from the Center for Tissue Engineering. That sounds interesting. I might have to talk to you a little bit longer. No offense, Joosta, but you know. Organ and tissue donation. This is something that a lot of people are freaked out by, because they imagine that while you're asleep at night in your house, a team of people are going to come in with a cooler box.
Yes.
And they're going to start harvesting your organs. That's not how it works. Everybody needs to calm down. Isn't that right, Joosta?
Absolutely. You know, you really need to be just very relaxed about this, because...
Just relax. We're just going to cut out your kidneys.
Absolutely. Don't worry, you know. And whichever other organs you want to take at night, but you know...
Yeah. You just wake up and suddenly something's gone. No, more than 500,000 people in South Africa die every year. 12% due to violence, motor vehicle accidents, unnatural head injuries. And disgracefully, by comparison, less than 300 transplants are performed annually, of which skin donation is but a fraction. So, I think we've got to all start asking ourselves, how can we make ourselves more useful, both in this life and once we're gone? Because... honestly, it's something that anyone and everyone could do. You may have terrific organs while you're alive, but once you're gone, they're not useful to anyone except the person who might need a transplant. So, Joosta, how does it work? Do we have to be part of a registry?
Yeah, no, we do. We do register people as you know, on our registry as organ donors. But the big thing here is that it's as simple as a decision that you need to make. And it affects your afterlife. So, you know, talking about Cleopatra, you should see a cartouche. You know, so she's Egyptian. And
you are Egyptian. Are you Egyptian? You are actually Egyptian?
No.
You're a reincarnation of the actual Cleopatra, which is why you're so beautiful.
Let's not freak people out.
That's why she's here this morning, everybody.
So the big thing here is that... it's a decision that you need to make, and it's as simple as that. And you can register on, you know, as an organ donor. We like you to register because, you know, we can go and look on the registry within an organ donor, and the conversation of your family that gets started at the time asking them about using your organs. You know,
you don't need to discuss it with the family. If Mabali said that she's keen, do you have to discuss it with her family? Or is she, if she's an organ donor?
She must discuss it with her own family.
Yeah, so exactly.
That's absolutely, we, you know, it's her job. Once he makes that decision, she goes to her family and say, listen here, my husband or my dear brother or whoever's closest to her, and say, this is my wish. I want to be an organ donor. So if that medical professional comes to you, that team, just please say yes, because we're running out of time. So say yes. This is crucial.
So, I mean, it is crucial, because if you are an organ donor, those seconds after you die are the most important, because we want to get the good stuff while it's still good. I mean, I'm sounding really mercenary about this, but let's be fair. I mean, that's really what it is. The doctor's going to need, if you, by the way, are you allowed to choose which menu items you want to donate?
You know what? You can, actually. It's actually, you know.
So for example, with all the tequila I've had in my life, I doubt my liver would be any use to anyone. But I'll throw it in the menu.
Well, you can chew on it, you know. So
sure. Give it to the dogs. Give it dog food. All right, but you can say your eyes. You could say your skin. Yeah. You could say your...
bone.
Your bone. That right, because, of course, bone marrow is very, very...
Bone
itself.
Bone itself, yeah.
Oh, the bone.
Yeah, that's where tissue comes in.
All right, tell me about this. Educate
so
me.
Tissue donation is basically the similar thing to organ donation, except we focus on tissues. Corneas, skin, heart valves, bone, ligaments, cartilage. That's basically what the tissues are. And with heart valves, it's not the whole heart. The whole heart would be an organ.
It's just the valves.
Just the valves. Those get dissected out. And with bone, it's not bone marrow. It's the actual the skeletal bone.
Huh.
That gets removed and gets transplanted to other
So you
people.
Could what? The tibia or the fibula? You want those? You can have them.
We want those.
I've got great legs, by the way. I'd be more than willing to donate my legs.
Okay. You always remind us of how
I have
great
terrific
your legs are.
Thank you. Therefore, I must have great bones in my legs, which means they could be useful to someone else.
Yes. And right. You're quite tall, so there'll be lots of them.
I used to not like the idea of anyone else benefiting from my death. Because I'm just a horrible person. But I've since come around.
We are thankful.
Yeah, and I think that this is a really great way for people to do something good at the moment where they really don't have any decision-making powers anymore.
Yeah.
But you commit to it early on in your life, and you commit to it while your life is good, because it's almost a way of paying back the people who are left behind. Hmm. You know, you do something genuinely decent. You give those parts that you don't need anymore to someone who might need them. If people are on the register and they have decided to be an organ or a tissue donator, then a donor, then is that the end of it? Is that where it you wear a bracelet, you're on a list? How do we know?
Not really. Like you were saying, the first step is to obviously speak to your family, because once you're dead, you can't speak for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're the ones that are going to have to make the decision. Unfortunately, the South African law says, even if you have registered, even if you've written in your will, even if you've done all those nice things, we still have to go to your family and get that legal consent, unfortunately.
Yeah.
However, for me, that's not a problem. I don't think that's a problem at all. And I'll tell you why I say that. Because in Spain, as you know, Spain is the highest in terms of organ and tissue donation in the world. Yeah,
huh.
Yeah, they're the best.
Didn't know that.
So there, their law is different. It's the opposite to us. Everybody is a donor until they opt out. You can go to, I don't know whether it's Home Affairs or their version of Home Affairs, that where you go to say, no, I don't want to, then you opt out. But otherwise, everybody's a donor.
Hmm.
However, they still do the legal consent when death happens, just to make sure that, you know, they don't cause problems within the families. You find that, you know, the mother says yes, the father doesn't agree for whatever reason. And by that, already, if they come in and they say, no, the law allows us, of obviously, you've caused some sort of a discomfort between
right.
family members. So to avoid that, and to also avoid bad publicity, you know, negative comments that may come from public or the media, you know, for that matter, they still do legal consent. So for me, the law is not the issue. It doesn't matter what the law says. You know, if they can do it, still with the law on their side, they still do the legal consent. Why can't we? I think the biggest problem is awareness and the fact that people don't talk about this subject, you know, often enough. People think once you start talking about death, it means people are going to come in the night, like you're just saying.
Yeah,
and
I want to add on to what Cleo is saying there. I'd like to add on what Cleo is saying there is, and that is that, you know, it's about awareness. It's about you and mine. Attitude towards this whole thing, because you know you can make laws until the cows come home, you can, but there will be roadblocks along the way, you know, from a doctor that feels uncomfortable and getting around the law and all kinds of things which can break it, you'll stop, put brakes on it. But
what are the main reasons people resist this? Cultural, religious?
Well, yes, I mean, cultural is a big thing, you know. Religious things is another big thing. But, you know, those things are not obstacles, really. We don't see them as obstacles. It's a matter of ignorance and maybe also being apathetic, you know. They know about organ donation. After all, you know, the first heart was transplanted in South Africa. So, you know what, we know about that. But it's just doing that next step. And I think, like Cleo say, it's awareness. We don't talk enough about this and make people feel comfortable about it. Because at that stage, when that situation happens, if you feel comfortable, your family feel comfortable about it, and you put pressure on the medical professionals, it will actually happen. So we can actually drive this from the outside, not from the inside.
I suppose it also has to do with families feeling like they don't want to lay to rest bits and pieces of a loved one.
Okay.
Because in their minds, they're thinking, oh, but they've taken her eyes and her liver and her this and her that, and now I'm left with just you know, for them, it's hard to reconcile with the fact that my loved one, who used to be this whole person, is now being given back to me in bits and pieces. And for some people, they just feel very uncomfortable about that and resistant to it, right?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, you can give us more technical answers on that. But the thing is that that's not really how it is. For instance, if you take a piece of skin, you really just take a little bit. But I think Clue knows the technical things about that a lot better, so she can explain.
Look, you know, funny enough, you would think that people will think that. But once that, I think people think that based from not knowing, you know, not having enough facts about it, or never hearing of it before. And therefore, you know, you form all sorts of scary thoughts in your own head. But once people actually get a chance to learn more about this, people are more receptive and they understand. And, you know, practically how it happens is organs are removed and the body is sutured, you know, so the structural integrity of the body is still maintained, which is awesome. It's fine. And in terms of tissue donation, that's where things get a little bit complicated. But what happens with skin is it's just the top layer of skin that is removed. It's less than a millimeter thick. That's the top. That's just really the top layer that is shaved off, and the body doesn't bleed. Nothing is exposed. No muscle. No nothing. Mm-hmm. It's exposed. So everything still looks intact.
How did you get into this, Cleo? I mean, it's a fascinating area, and you work for a Center for Tissue Engineering. So what kind of stuff do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Center for Tissue Engineering is a tissue bank. So we basically do procurement of tissue. We do a lot of awareness as well with ODF, but we do the physical procurement of tissue. We do re-engineering of the tissue to turn it into transplantable allografts. And we just see to it that all the hospitals, public and private, have tissue and people actually have access to transplantation.
So, what kind of a deficit do we have in South Africa?
A lot. With bone, for instance, I think last year as well as the year before, only about 20,000 or so people got transplants. And I mean, in a population of like 53, 54 million, that's like,
it's crazy.
Really, it's crazy. With skin, Center for Tissue Engineering just became the first skin bank this year. Before that, we didn't have a skin bank.
So what
in the country.
What does it look like where you work? Is it tons and tons of fridges? I mean, what do you got going on there?
No, laboratories.
Okay, but how do you store this stuff?
Yeah, in the fridge. In the fridge, and it depends.
You got to be really careful when you go for your tea in the morning that you're going for the fridge with the milk and the, you know, you go to the wrong fridge, it's going to be pretty upsetting for everybody. Right?
We're quite used to it. No, that's boring. No.
Where are you guys based?
In Pretoria at the CSIR. So I studied biotechnology, majored in microbiology, like Mabali.
Okay.
And then I did my master's at the University of Barcelona in Spain.
That's how you know so much about the Spanish.
That's how I know about so much, except for the language. I majored in transplantation for organs and tissues and cells. So that's how I got into it.
Fascinating stuff. Oh, it's very interesting. Now, your name being Egyptian makes me think, when we talk about organs and all this stuff, that the Egyptians were onto this a long time ago. I mean, they weren't doing transplants because, of course, they wouldn't know how to start with something like that. But the ancient Egyptians would take your heart, they'd put it in a certain jar, they'd take your lungs and put it in another jar, they'd take your liver, and they'd split you up and then they'd mummify you to preserve you. But effectively, that was their way of trying to figure that you would have an afterlife and that you would be able to reassemble those organs and that person on the other side. I mean, in some ways, some humans are still stuck in that.
I think so.
There's a way for us to now make use of those things.
Well, absolutely. You know, and this is it. You know, I mean, one organ donor, if you make this, you know, choice to be an organ donor, can save 7 lives. You know, you can give a heart, you can give 2 lungs, you can give a liver, 2 kidneys, and your pancreas, and then, you know, skin can save 8 lives as well. And you can help as much as 50 people with your tissue, with your bones and skin. You could probably help 90 people, Cliff. But
with my great legs, I intend to help everyone.
And just to add on, you're just a bit more dramatic about this, but this is quite dramatic, is that, you know, we've got 4,500 people, give and take, waiting for a life-saving transplant or some sort of tissue donation. You know, but the point is, life support, there's only about There's just so much dialysis centers or dialysis machines available for people that can go into dialysis to wait for kidney transplant. So, but more and more people actually need the transplant, but they're getting put away. You know,
how did you get into this? How did you start working for the Organ Donor Foundation?
So I've got a son that's been waiting for a kidney transplant for 10 years, but he's a unique case because he's got an ultra rare disease. So, you know, in the beginning, I just used to consult for the Organ Donor Foundation. I'm in advertising and marketing. So, and then eventually I got involved full time. So, and now I'm the director of communications, But so this is how I got involved. But to get back to the story, you know, people wait a long time, or, you know, you sit and wait, basically going to go into life support, keeping up the space for another person. Mm. So, you know, that choice of that you can make is actually a huge thing, giving the other dude that will never get a chance for a transplant an opportunity.
You guys have put a pretty good case in front of us. I'm not going to argue with you. I think if you haven't already, the best way to get involved is to just put your name on the list. That's all it is. A few minutes of your time, you register, and you could save, you heard, up to 7 lives. Even there, you could enhance the lives of 50 people by doing this. It's incredible. How do we register? What's the quickest way to do that?
It's quite easy. You know, you just go to www.odf.org.za and you register online.
ODF, Organ Donor Foundation.
Yeah, odf.org.za. Or you can go to our Facebook page. You'll find us this, Organ Donor Foundation of SA. There's also links to sign on. It's quite easy. You can phone us at 0800-226611 during office hours. That's a toll-free line from landlines. So you can just phone us and we will register you. It's as easy as that. It's a few seconds. Mm.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Cleo. Thank you so much, Yusta. Very good to meet both of you. The Organ Donor Foundation, if you want to find out more. August is Organ Donor Month, and please keep doing the good work that you guys do.
Thank you very much.
Terrific stuff. Thank you very much. CliffCentral.com.